New episode of Burnt Out Coffee Friday edition in 3, 2, 1, go, Oscar, hit 'em.
Burnt Out Coffee.
Okay, so yeah, this is a new episode, episode 39. I don't know. You'll find out 40. Soon enough.
It's
new,
40.
It's in the
it's 40.
In the corner. It's 40?
40.
40? We're already on 40?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Guys, we're on 40.
Your face is pure shock. You went 40. 40. No, let me check my calendar. What month is it?
We've made it this long, folks. 40 long episodes with this guy to my right or left, depending on how he edits it.
I'm to your right. No, wait. Hold up your left hand. That's your left. I'm on your right.
This is my right hand.
I'm on your left. Burnt
out coffee. There you go. Coffee. I'm your co-host, Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Fox.
And
to my left or right is my other co-host, Enrique Rosado. At Ryder Rosado. Ooh. I got you, baby. I got you. Don't worry.
And we're just jumping straight into it, Oscar. What are we
jumping
into?
Straight into
what are
it.
We talking about today? What in
so,
episode 2 or 4 month? I don't know what we're calling it. Pumpkin coffee month. Jack-o'-lantern
pumpkin
coffee.
Pumpkin spice.
Jack-o'-lantern spice.
Spooky spice.
Spooky spice coffee. That's what we're talking
about. Spooky spice coffee.
We're going to spooky spice coffee
yeah.
month.
It's trademarked. Don't try to take it. Random coffee company that might be watching this show.
Or
sponsor us.
I have space right down there. Just sell out right there. I'll sell out right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's like Ready Player One. We got like 80% of the screen
mm-hmm.
to sell.
Right here. Like, do you want your ad to be seen right here unless you're an audio listener? So I will have to verbally plug it. We're today sponsored by Oscar. No, we're sponsored by Enrique today. Sorry, today we're sponsored
yeah,
by
definitely,
Enrique.
Definitely Enrique. Yeah, I got nothing for you. So to begin with, what we watched... It was only 4 episodes long,
mm-hmm.
and I was trying to figure out why. I couldn't find anything about a cancellation or anything like that. And then I realized, especially old school anime, like we're talking like 90s especially,
mm-hmm.
they kind of do it backwards. Like in America, we create comic books with the hope that one day it'll be a cartoon show or a movie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In Japan, they do the opposite. They come out with an anime as like a miniseries or a one season or whatever to get people to go read the manga.
Yes, definitely. Yep. Because that's
so it's the exact opposite. It's like this is like a big commercial to go read some books. So I mean,
you haven't even said the name of what you're splitting yet. Oh God, am I sure?
Yeah, because when we decided to choose this, we were like, it's only 4 episodes long. Why did it get canceled? And it was just a 4 episode miniseries for television
mm-hmm.
that actually I think it aired on TBS here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Random. But I was just like, okay, and that's all we ever got. And it's true. Like, the original Berserk, we only got one season. And they're like, all right, now go read the manga. I'm like, no. This is one of the best animes of all time. And then we had CGI frying pan. Clang, clang, clang. But it's Spooky Spice season, so we chose a oldie but a goodie. Pet Shop of Horrors. And if you don't know, for the longest time you could only get it on VHS. So it shows its age right there.
It really does.
Yeah, I mean, like, we were looking at it, and my cousin has a huge anime collection, and I was thinking about it. He only has it on VHS. We don't have a DVD copy.
Mm-hmm.
And I no longer have VHS to play it on. Or VCR.
Oh, yeah, Pet Shop of Horrors. I saw it first time on... Time, I don't know if you remember, now Spectrum used to have an on-demand channel, and they had an anime section, and that's where I first saw it.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a whole anime channel.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I saw it. I was like, ooh.
Yeah, it's an old 90s anime. It's an anthology series.
Mm-hmm.
I think the manga only had 10 volumes, so that didn't even run that long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it has 2 prequel series. I'm not sure how long they ran.
Actually, I'm going to go read it after this, then. That actually sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's got two prequel series, but the original Pet Shop of Horrors with The Count is only 10 volumes long.
Oh, I'll go read it for spooky.
So that should be, it could be something we could find and pick up sometime just for fun, mm-hmm. because four episodes wasn't enough, and Jordan was quite mad at that when we watched it together, mm-hmm. just because she's like, okay, where's the end? Where's the rest of it? I'm like, no, that's it.
Yeah, that's how so, I was when I first saw it. I was like, it would release on a weekly basis, and then the next week we were like, oh, they're taking a break. The week after. Hello? Pet Shop?
To never be seen again. So, it's funny, because, like, I remember being, like, really scared of this show when I was a kid. And it wasn't that scary. The only one that got me was episode one. And so everyone knows, A Pet Shop of Horrors is kind of the synopsis of the show. There is literally, it's pick some West Coast city in America. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it's like...
I thought it was D.C.
California or something.
Yeah, it's either L.A., D.C. or New York. Because they have tall skyscrapers like New York.
It had a very like California look and like with Chinatown and everything.
Yeah.
I was just like...
But they were close enough that politicians can just drive close. But again, if they were politicians of California, though, it makes sense. Yeah, I guess it is California.
They can be senators. They can be mayor, governor, whatever.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Representatives. You're right. Whatever.
Yeah, you're right. It is California. Let's just say there.
Yeah, we'll go with that. I don't know what it actually is, but we'll go with that.
Because there's a Hollywood
has that feel to it.
They had a Hollywood star who lived by there, so I would assume Hollywood's California. Yeah.
It's only like in my recent memory where like a lot of actors and stuff like actively live away from California.
Mm-hmm.
Like before then, like, you had to be there.
Yeah, especially current times. Current times are trying to show like the country is developing a new film industry mind where California, it's not, LA is not going to die, but it's going to get weakened because other places are going to get stronger. That's just how
Atlanta's growing, Austin's growing. Dallas. Like, I mean,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Yeah. But pitch up a whole lot.
I'm gonna quit this podcast in my family and go to Dallas and become a star.
You're gonna quit your family? You're gonna turn in your 2 weeks notice to your son? In 2 weeks, you're gonna get a replacement father. I vetted him.
Like,
I interviewed
so
him.
Worried. He's gonna be so worried until like a year from now where he can actually read good, and he's gonna be like, "Oh wait, he left me to become a famous actor. I still hate him."
He's gonna be like, "He left me to be a famous actor. I wonder what Starbucks he's working at. It's gonna be great to see him."
Whatever. You know, I'm gonna get all the roles because I'm gonna be gargling that mayonnaise.
I like how you're gonna stop, baby. You're just gonna that's where you're gonna start. Welcome to the audition, and you just get on your knees. You're like, "I'm ready."
Well, you got it.
No, they're gonna be like, "This was not the role. I think you want a different industry. Go somewhere else." You're like, "Oh, my bad."
And now I'm going to get up and be like, and I'm going to start just reading the monologue. "Jeffrey, how could you do this to us?" You got to get him relaxed. You got to get him ready for the scene.
Oh, Oscar Fernandez.
Right.
Gotta get them
ready. But anyway,
Pet Shop of Horrors, spooky month.
Pet Shop of Horrors. Yeah. So basically, there's a sort of a magic pet shop in the middle of Chinatown. There's this weird, very feminine Asian guy voiced by a white American actor.
Oh, okay. I know we're supposed to talk about synopsis, but you said the key word I was waiting for you to say, the voice.
Yeah.
Can we talk
so
about
like
the voice acting?
Typical like Asian accent. Mixed with like sort of like a feminine like flair to it.
And it was like, I was like, wow, for the 90s anime, this is pretty like okay. But then I went, but in voice acting standards now, it's not. This is all bad.
It's not.
Now, do you remember the scene in the bus? I can't slow down. The accelerator is broken. Ah. And I was like, this man's about to die. This is how he gave it. Ah.
Listen, it wasn't some long-running series. It was a four-episode little mini thing. They just got the first guys that came in. Can you do,
the
like,
janitor's cleaning the mic?
A stereotypical Asian and gay accent at the same time? Yeah, we want to offend everyone. Yeah, yeah.
No.
You can't.
You can't?
You got a job.
No. They went, "You can't. We don't have enough time. Come on in anyway." Yeah.
Yeah, oh, anyway, so it's got this guy. His name is, they just call him The Count. And basically, he has a menagerie of mystical animals, and each episode pretty much placates at someone who has some sort of trauma, and they go to this pet shop to sort of alleviate their, you know, depression and all that.
Yeah,
and
each animal
he
represents
has these
something.
Magical animals that really do help them, but it's almost like Gremlins rules, where they have, like, rules for each pet, mm-hmm. and if you break them, something really, really bad is going to happen. And
yeah,
so that's the horror part of the show.
Yeah, that's one thing I did enjoy is, like, they're like, technically, we are giving you what you wanted, but it's up to you to keep it going, just like life. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But everything...
Well, like, the beginning...
No, go ahead.
Like, it's not really a theme song, but, like, the beginning of it where it comes in, he's like, come to my pet shop. I'm sure you'll find something you desire, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Now that you also mentioned the theme song... Why did they give us the horniest theme song for... Like, this is called A Pet Shop of Horror, but a lot of the time, I was wondering if they knew what horror meant. Because they're like... Not only it's like... It's like, oh, yeah. And I'm just like... What do I do? Should I have my shirt on when I watch this? Should I not? I am confused. And then you see, like I don't know, the opening scene. I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. I forgot this. I used to watch this with my parents.
Jordan was like, I want more episodes. I want to know where this ends. Does the detective hook up with the count? I need to know these things.
By that theme song.
And I'm like, no one denies the count. See how persuasive this man is?
He sold the mayor
a penguin. If he wants those sweets, he's going to get those sweets.
Give me your sweets, detective. It's like, oh, okay. But can
so,
we
yeah,
also,
so
like, quick side mention? Yeah, he sold the mayor a penguin. I'm sorry, that just came out of nowhere for me. Like, the last episode, he's like, oh, the mayor is a good patron of mine. And he just comes in with this fat penguin. Thank you for a little pen. And I was like, what am I watching?
I had to like this is years ago, but the same thing, there was like the first time I saw that was Evangelion. They had a pet penguin in the apartment. And I'm like, is this a thing? And it is a thing.
What?
Some of them have pet penguins.
I want a pet penguin. I'm not even sure. This is like Pet Shop of Horrors can wait. I can have a legitimate pet penguin.
I guess in Japan.
I'm going there. Like, legitimately, penguins were one of my favorite animals as a kid.
Why?
The fact you're asking why makes me question everything you've ever said. Your judgment.
They're the derpiest of the birds. They can't run.
Yeah.
They can only slide on their bellies.
Cool.
So there's no ice. They can't really get anywhere fast.
Cool.
They can't fly.
They're cute as fuck. As exactly. Imagine coming home. Hard day at work. Your body is tired. Your soul crushed. Tears running through your streets because you don't know if you could take another day. And right around the corner, it's, and you're just like, there is hope still in my life. I will keep fighting.
No,
you push away your son to look at that penguin waddle.
To any of our listeners, if work is that hard for you, that's not the job for you, okay? Go find something you actually enjoy, you're passionate about. There's stuff out there. You're not stuck there, okay? Trust me, you can live your dreams. Listen to Enrique,
get a penguin.
To my right or left.
Or get a penguin.
No, because you know what? We think it's cute, but I guarantee you're gonna come home like, oh, Pen, where are you? And he just starts like pecking at your shins, like, feed me, you son of a bitch. I've been hungry all day.
And I'm gonna be like, I'll feed you, baby. I'll feed you. Oh no, I was only supposed to feed you vegetables and water. And then he becomes a whole bunch of babies. Him come out and eat me. They look like babies. Back to Pet Shop before smooth transition. One thing I did enjoy, Oscar. The going with the plot and synopsis that you're building.
I think I lost you.
Oh, I'm gonna keep talking for our viewers. So one thing I did enjoy.
You're good.
I'm good. One thing I did enjoy was.
Go ahead. I want to hear your thing.
It's actually going off what you were building for the synopsis and everything. Is that the creatures every time they were given to these troubled people, they look human, specifically like someone they knew in life.
Is it because of the incense?
That's what I was thinking. I legitimately thought it was the incense.
Because came with that incense.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I was noticing. And every room they were in had incense. That's what I was assuming. Because they emphasized the shit in the beginning of the first episode. Like, you must have the incense burning 24-7. And I was assuming it's to keep the illusion, even when you open the door.
Yeah, I think he just gives whoever inhales it the illusion of what they want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, the only reason I can assume, because like that couple saw their daughter.
Yeah. The mermaid one, like the thing with that one, though, I was like, is the incense because he saw her like that? Or is the incense because, what's it called? She ate the, Pet Shop of Horrors, spoilers all the way. Spoilers.
It's back from like 90, four whatever.
Episodes. For all four episodes.
I think it literally ran for like 3 months, from like January of 98 to March of 98.
3 months in place. For 2 months, they were like one episode only. You get one episode. It ran for 8 months, Oscar. It had enough for 1 month.
I just want to say the most annoying episode, because I did enjoy the series, but the most annoying episode was the mermaid episode.
Really? That's the one that, like, actually I remembered the most when I first...
For only one reason, I was annoyed with it.
What?
That diva was a one-hit wonder, because they only played one fucking song again and again and again.
Yeah, because in the show, they go like, we're going to marathon her music, because she's been one of the biggest pop stars for years, and they keep playing the same, and I'm just like, I thought she wasn't a one-hit wonder. I thought she was a little bit like, she channeled a little Mumford and Sons, where it's like, this whole album sounds like one song.
No, because the words are the same.
No, everything else is the same.
It was like Call Me Maybe for like a whole episode.
I want an edit of that. Like every time they play her, listen to her beautiful voice. Hey, I just met you. And this is crazy.
Isn't that Rob Schneider's now.
Is it Rob Schneider's daughter?
Carly Rae Jepsen? Rob Schneider's daughter.
No. You look it up. I'll talk about Pet Shop of Horrors. So the reason we're not diving too much into the plot is because it is an anthology series, and part of the whole reason you watch is to find out what happens and everything. So the thing I will say about the plot is they emphasize that it's called Pet Shop of Horrors. A lot of the time, I didn't feel horrified or scared. Oscar kind of hit on it a little earlier. What
did you say that girl's name was?
Carly Rae Jepsen. So, Oscar kind of hit on it earlier. He never felt scared throughout it. Neither did I. Because the whole point of it, it's less of the horror aspect, is the, oh no, the animal will eat somebody. The animal will eat somebody. Or it's a scary animal. But the reality is...
No, I'm like way wrong.
Yeah, I know you are. I said her name, Carly Rae Jepsen. I was like, where would the Schneider be there? But I get a stage name then. That makes sense. But the whole point of it was more of, I guess you could say, it's psychological horror. And I use, again, that lightly. It's not like meant to scare you. It's just meant to dive deep into the character's psyche and explain why they are seeing this or experiencing this. The topics were dark. And that's where I guess they kind of gathered the word horror from. It's less of we're meant to scare you. And it's more of this is horror because we're gathering dark subject matter, dark materials. And I never felt afraid, but I actually enjoyed the stories they gave because it was more about these people's folly, how the animal represented it, and then what so forth. And a lot of these animals are like mythological. Every single one, I think, minus episode one, is a mythological, legitimate creature. I'm trying to remember which one episode three was.
I don't personally know a lot of Chinese and Japanese mythology, because there are demons and stuff getting kind of crazy.
The Kirin is real.
So I don't know.
The Kirin is real. We know about the mermaid. What was three? Oh,
Medusa.
Medusa. Yeah, you see, Medusa. The only one I think that wasn't... Wait, I just now realized something. Oscar, a Kirin, a scaled unicorn with flames, running with basically a unicorn and dragon had sex. That is a Kirin. Then you have a mermaid, a mystical creature that would send sailors to the doom. Then you have Medusa, a Greek mythological creature that turned people to stone. And then you have a rabbit.
That was one of my favorite episodes, man.
Then you have a rabbit that really gives birth. It fucks, man. This rabbit fucks.
It's a magic asexual rabbit, okay?
Yeah, but again, the Kirin, Medusa,
that's the magic
mermaid,
part.
A bunny. This is like some... They saw Monty Python and went, bunnies could be
okay,
mythological.
So, side note. I was half wrong. Rob Schneider's daughter is a singer. It's Ellie King.
Don't know her. I wish you the best, Ellie King.
I don't know what she sings either, but...
I bet she does.
I was half right.
but Spooky! Rob Schneider!
You know what's spooky? Rob Schneider's career.
You're mean.
You're so mean. I love him. I love him.
I do. I like Bruce Bigelow, the European Bigelow.
Deuce, not Bruce.
Oh no, you know I'm a fake Schneider fan. No, how'd you find out? Pet Shop of Horrors.
Yes, Pet Shop of Horrors.
I could have seen him in it. He could have been the Count.
The rabbit one truly like scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones just made me sad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not really that much horror in this. So go ahead. Go ahead.
Which one was... Okay, let's get into the animation first. I want to know what you felt like of animation, because we're so used to the new style of anime. Mm-hmm. Taking a look back at this very old style of anime, because we realized almost all anime, mainstream anime, was drawn like this back in the day.
Like each...
So what was your feeling
each generation has their own like style you can point out by looking at it. Like, this is 90s and 80s. Animation-wise, I actually thought it looked really... Okay, this is how I'm going to put it. For the time, the smoothness of the animation, it was a little choppy. I don't know if you remember the scene of the mermaid one where you just see the head do this. Hello. It's like this janky, like you can tell like someone just clicked and scrolled the head to move closer. And I was like, But the actual drawing style, the animations and like the character designs, I actually thought were really nice. Like I thought they were really pretty, beautiful. The creatures looked really good. I enjoyed it. But one thing, I watched an episode with Ari that was pointed out, she was confused on who was the detective. It was the last episode. And the blonde politician, and she got them confused so much because she was like, I was like, yeah, if you don't notice the ponytail, they look the exact same.
I could see that. Yeah, I mean, everyone was drawing very similar features. Extreme. Like even like their
jaws,
facial, their neck, especially their eyes. Mm-hmm. Like everyone was kind of like long, like elongated. Yeah,
I actually really did like how they were drawn and everything on show. What about you?
To me, it just brought back a lot of nostalgia. I mean, I got into anime in 97, 98. Mm-hmm. So like, Evangelion was like the newest anime, but everything I watched around it came out before. So it was like Slayers was one of my first series I watched. Mm-hmm. I watched a lot of movies like Battle Ranto Shinden, Vampire Hunter D. And, you know, it's just like everything was kind of drawn like that. Even older, the original Gundam series things like that.
Yeah.
So like the color palette, it was like very, like not, I wouldn't say dull, but that's the only word I could think of right now.
Like
very dull color palette. Even like the bright color seemed like a little off. I don't know if that's the technology or whatever, because like nowadays it's like boom, bright, blah, 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 blah. Like Demon Slayer, those colors just pop.
They do.
And it's beautiful. Yeah, that one's for different times, beautifully animated. But
that would have been a good one for Spooky.
Horror genre.
That would have been a good one for Spooky Moth.
We could still do it. Spoopy month is not over yet.
You know what? Maybe we should add like make one of the cold brew episodes another just burnt out, and we do Demon Slayer.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
Yeah. As we discuss this thing on the episode,
and now if we don't do it, we're gonna look like punks.
So now we have to do it. Are we? Or do we just peer pressure ourselves?
Come on, man. You got to do it. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm ready. No, you got to talk about Demon Slayer. I haven't fully finished it yet. No, you need to.
Like, we discussed the difference between, like, I think we had an episode where we discussed the difference between, like, old anime versus modern anime.
We're doing Demon Slayer. We pressured ourselves into it now.
Yeah, we did it. I just felt a lot of nostalgia. Definitely. Is what it did for me. Because, you know, I saw this. Mm-hmm. It was one of those old animes I watched way back when as well, you know, when it was hard because there wasn't a lot of prevalent anime on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first mainstream animes was like Toonami, DBZ, Sailor Moon, Tenchi Muyo. The other ones, you had to, like, go to a Hollywood Video or a Blockbuster and rent or buy literally VHSs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, like, the PX was, like, the only, like, you couldn't go to Walmart.
Suncoast, baby.
I had Suncoast. To go to the, yeah, Suncoast had a good selection of anime all the time. And the PX was literally the only place I could find new anime or, like, current anime consistently coming out available.
That is true. The PX did.
It was literally the only place. It was the only place I could buy Evangelion, like, DVDs of Evangelion stuff.
Mm-hmm. Nothing happened. Our audio listeners don't know anything.
Nothing happened. I don't know what you're talking about. But, like, it was, like, yeah, like, any modern series that was current, I could only find the PX.
Yeah.
So it was hard to be an anime fan back in that day because even the VHSs were, like, overpriced compared to, like, an American cartoon or even an American movie and things like that.
So
yeah,
I want to give you a question about, like, the show, and it may sound weird. What did you think? Because it's going to be a leading question a bit. I am going to admit that. So the first part of it, what do you think of the characters, like, in general, like, the characterizations of them? Do you feel like they were fleshed out? Do you feel like they were, they matter, or were they just, like, placeholders in the story, or what? So what?
So to me, like, the detective was basically, like, the viewer's tour guide.
Yeah.
He didn't really have a lot of substance. We never got into any story about him whatsoever. He was just our means, like, our guide into this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't want us to really get into the perspective of the Count. The Count was, you know, that character of mystique.
Yeah, mystery.
I liked his quirks and his, like, we didn't need backstory of him. He had enough quirks and personality.
100%.
To where you just really felt his character.
100%.
You know? And the other characters were what the story was about.
Yeah.
So, like, the two main characters, the story wasn't even about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these background characters were really the main plot of the show. So every time there was, like, a grieving person for something or rather, they were the focus. And it was, like, almost like Twilight Zone anthology, mm-hmm. where it was just, like, every episode had a moral.
Mm-hmm.
And the Count was, like, your narrator
yeah.
who would give you the morality lesson throughout the episode.
Yeah.
You know, especially at the end, you know, when things would occur. But the detective was just, he was kind of just a stereotype, like, oh, I'm, like, the rebel detective, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to solve the case, and no one at the station understands me, blah, 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 blah. So, like, that's all we got from him, and that was literally every episode for him.
Yeah.
Dang it, Captain, why won't you let me get this guy? I need evidence. Blah, blah, blah.
I couldn't tell if he was friendly with the Count or not, because he would be, like, in the same scene, he's like, yo, the Count, like, oh, hey, Count, let's talk. I get he brought the desserts to bribe him, but it would be like, let's sit down, let's talk, let's do everything. And then in the middle of it, he'd be like, you motherfucker, you sold him a bunny that eats people. You're the monster. And then, like, in the next episode, what up, Count? And also, can we talk about the legality of the contracts? Because I don't know why that stood out to me. It's like three episodes in a row.
The detective looked at the paperwork. Nope. It's all legal.
Yeah, real quick. He did that for two episodes, and he went like, this is legal. This is legal. And on the last episode, he went, I'm going to have my men run through this to check the authenticity. I went, why the fuck now, all of a sudden, you're like, I need to start questioning these contracts. And the last three...
It was a higher profile case, I don't know.
The other people were, there were collateral damage. This looked legal enough. I saw him say, you responsible, and that's all I needed. That's all I needed.
And like, I don't know, each little lesson and things like that was just so good. I felt so bad. Like, so, like, the rabbit one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you get into the backstory of, like, what happened to the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just a spoiled brat who became rebellious, a drug addict, and all that. And she died because her parents couldn't say no to her.
Yeah, also, no offense, like, I felt like the mom was more in the wrong in that. Because, like, she even, like, pressured the dad to, like, kind of go, like, no, we have to. And the dad's the one who died. The dad died.
Yeah, it was just like, it was just really, really sad. And like the Medusa one was my favorite one, I think.
Oh yeah, that one.
The Medusa one was my favorite one.
What?
And
wait,
I felt bad.
What? The Medusa one, the one that had the Star Wars parody in it, was your favorite?
What? The whole time, I was just sitting there, I was like, poor Mark Hamill.
I think that was more on Leia. Because I think that's more on Leia, because...
It was a mix, because he was Fisher. From Prince or whatever.
Yeah, but I think it was more like, Carrie Fisher's career. Hamill found work after.
I mean... His thing was voice acting.
Yeah.
He found his golden goose in voice acting.
Yeah, when they didn't have to see him.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not talking shit about Hamill.
Oh, I love
him. But like his other live action movies aren't fantastic. So
he did find his thing in voice acting.
The whole time.
That's true.
Yeah. So the whole time in the film, like in the episode, I'm like, bro, just try voice acting.
Dude, I know the answer. Just voice act. And that's another thing I was thinking. I was like, that would have been so meta if they had Hamill come in to voice that character.
He has done a lot of anime.
That's what I'm saying. That would have been dope. Like, honestly, this is going to... And I know this is going to sound disrespectful to the old cast. I understand it's more of a technological and also how long anime has been in America. Because it's not just technology limited them. It's the styling of writing the scripts because... I know back then, a lot of the time, they were just focused on more of the flaps than the dialogue, whereas now they give them more freedom to rearrange words and stuff to allow them to craft better dialogue. Because I would love a re-recording of the show with better voice acting in the sense of better accents, better delivery. I still think of that bus driver all the time. That was the
worst. Oh no, the accelerator's broken.
And I was just...
You were Meshy?
You were Meshy? Is that you? What? No.
I want him to be the count.
So you...
Welcome to my pet shop.
So I see you brought the champagne Peron. The cake I wanted. Thank you, you were Meshy. I don't know why. I just want him now to voice every character. I just imagine the little hamster bat that the count had. Goes, squeak, squeak.
Squeak. Don't piss me off. Every damn episode, everyone's like, how could you sell him that thing? Blah, blah. She's like, what did you sell him? And I'm just like, does no one notice this half bat rabbit hybrid creepy ass thing? No one notices this creature. We're worried about a cute lizard, a bunny, but we're not worried about this like homunculus.
Yeah, now that you bring that up, he's like, he clearly went, Medusa, you expect me to believe this? You sold him a mermaid? You're a Meshy. Squeak, squeak, landed on his shoulder.
Squeak, squeak, and you're Meshy.
He's like, you don't believe the mermaid, but you can look at the hamster bat and go, no, that's regular.
And
this is legit.
And that thing was everywhere. It was in the mayor's office. Like, it was everywhere with him.
Yeah, but I will give one thing credit to the show. I think... They are playing some party music over there. I don't know if you could hear it.
I can't.
I don't know if you could hear it. Oh my god! Like my whole complex right now is just going wild. So a little background music for our spooky. I'm trying to figure out, is it Madang? I'm trying to hear the style of it. All you know, it's played in every Puerto Rican barbecue. Oh,
I've just been playing like the mashup of WAP and Monster Mash together. And
yo, okay, jam. Yes, it is so good. It is so good.
Shout out
they did
to DJ
Kamerun.
You always killing it, man. Always killing it.
You created the new Halloween theme for this year. Is she did the
I'm going
monster
to a vampire ball.
She had the WAP. Go ahead.
I told them they have to play that. They have to
100%. 100%.
I don't know how he does it, but he gets like the singers to like do other voices. I don't know if he's like dissecting the sounds and able to create words out of it. I don't know what technology he's using. He's got some good stuff, but like half these people that he's making use voices are dead. So I mean, like,
he grabs impressionists.
He
might grab impressionists or something as well.
Maybe. I think it's all tech, honestly. I think it's all tech.
But back to the real monster WAP. Can we mention once? Okay, now
the count.
King WAP. The thing I was going to say is I want to give the show credit where credit is due. They did a really good job with never showing. I mean, like, not never showing. Let me rephrase it. they did a good job of why the detective always was skeptical, because minus the first episode where the incense made him see the humans and it just became rabbits, he never truly saw the creatures outside of their actual animal forms. You know what I mean?
And like you said, they were just rabbits. That's nothing supernatural. Yeah. It's just like some cannibalistic, carnivorous rabbits.
And then it's
so it's like this random species of animal he doesn't know, but he never saw like the mythological side of things.
He just saw a big fish. He just saw a big fish, and he just saw a little reptile. The only creature that could have been taken away as like, you cannot deny this as mysticism, he never gets to see is the Kirin. Because you can't hide how that thing looks as through incense or anything. Is that a unicorn dragon?
I mean, it was a little, like, ornately dressed little Chinese girl.
Okay, can we talk about that? It was like, this one is a she. And then it had two voices that the female voice only appeared for 2 seconds. It was like the little girl was like,
welcome, master. Now,
I will help you with everything I do.
What is your wish?
And I was like,
It was like Shinron from DBZ.
Yes, it was like this little Chinese girl's.
How could I?
It reminded me of Dune.
My brother is coming for you.
The Muad'Dib. He's coming.
They could form their own group. Oh my god, we have now a duo of creepy voice little girls. Add the Exorcist chicken there. That's three. We have so far a trio of misleading voices from little girls.
But like that one, I guess it was an interesting episode.
Really? I thought it was the best. Well done.
Because it was the only one that really had a happy ending.
I like how you did that because I know what you mean. Spoilers. I'm going to say
someone still had to die.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's like, by the way, yeah, also, I get the price was paid, but let me explain something. He was like, the Kirin sacrifice will be in mountains of blood and much death. One dude died, and he got exactly what he needed, whereas the other ones that were mentioning, so many people died.
I mean, it just depends, okay? It was just like one like little favor, and to fix his situation, only one person needed to die. Now, if it was like a wish where it's like, imagine like Alexander the Great, I want to rule the world, a lot of people gotta die.
The Kirin was like, that dude's dead already, so I guess I'll just really count him really quick. I don't know, like, I guess just to like sum this up, we're gonna hit our overall feelings and how do we feel about it. From my opinion, Pet Shop of Horrors, I really do enjoy it. I recommend it to people because it's four episodes that are like with no commercials, 20 minutes each. It's like a good, sit down and watch it as a movie. I'm going to go read the manga now because I'm like, I want to see if there is an ending or at least what other stories are being told. It's a very nice treat. Enjoy it. Just there is some things you're going to have to bear with. I'm sorry. Now I can just think it's a hamster as you're a meshy. I'm sorry. That's all I'm
you
thinking of.
You're meshy alone.
Welcome to my pet shop. Come on in, muscle man ass. That's what I'm saying. They need to redo his whole voice. That's him. But
what did you sell them? Mad Mom.
Oh, why didn't your mom joke hit that hard? I think it's because I know the character well, and that's something he would say. So I personally say it's definitely worth a watch. It's not going to blow you away, but it is a classic for a reason. It is a good, like, pop it on during this month, especially. You can just enjoy it. Bring the kids. There's not that much blood and death, and there is actually a lot of blood and death. But, you know, you get to see a hamster with bat wings.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you want to set? What do you mean there's no mystical creatures? The fuck, am I invisible?
Like, the people who are listening to us are going to be very disappointed when they watch this show and realize that thing doesn't talk.
He goes, squeak, 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 squeak. We need Oscar. So, we need to be the ones to remake that show. I am saying it right now. If you guys want
Pet Shop Horrors Abridged.
If you want another season of Pet Shop of Horrors, or at least one episode, tell them to contact us. We'll do it. We will write it. I will show run it. I'll do everything to get it done. And I'll make it act, I'll make it good. But my one condition.
We'll just pull it up and do a commentary track on top. We'll write our own dialogue for it.
Squeak. Oscar, what are your opinions?
Squeak, squeak.
That was the worst suggestion you made, because now it's just like, stuck in my head.
I like it for what it was, because I love Twilight Zone, mm-hmm. and I love sort of that anthology feel with lots of moral lessons.
Yeah.
I was disappointed that it wasn't as scary as I remembered it as a kid.
Yeah.
It was still enjoyable. It's still entertaining. Like, the count's funny. Like, the like I said before, the ticket scare is nothing special. Yeah. But he's just a way to keep the story flowing. Yeah. And what I did like is not every traumatic experience was the same.
Yes.
Like, you have the loss of a child. You have sort of a wash-up actor who was like doesn't know what to do with his career. Mm-hmm. We sometimes we feel that way. Like, oh, should I be in this profession or whatever? Mm-hmm. The other one was like, you want your best friend to succeed, but your best friend might not be as good of a person as he once was.
Mm-hmm. And so or how like you idolize him, yeah.
Or you idolize him, you know, it's false idolizing him.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, none of the trauma is the same,
mm-hmm.
and it all has a very different morale lesson. So like, you learn something and feel good at the expense of others. And that's how Twilight Zone was, you know? Yeah. Well, just with a lot more depth. But overall, I mean, it's enjoyable. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think this show should have done the full 10 volume, like the manga. Like, just do one season. Mm-hmm. Just do one nice complete arc.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go even a little bit more in depth with, you know, the detective getting to sort of understand the count's role in all this,
mm-hmm.
to where like you can have almost like a Death Note kind of thing where it's like the police are finally going to crack down on the count, but because the detective has gotten to know him and knows his, like, he's kind of needed,
mm-hmm.
in a very macabre sense,
mm-hmm.
that he tries to like cover up for the count.
Well, I like,
and that could be like the, I haven't even read the thing and I'm creating an arc.
Yeah,
for
I was
now.
Like,
what am I doing? I'm just like, I'm just doing a fanfic right now.
The thing I was going to say, I like how it ends. Like, how it ends with, like, basically the count looking at the detective, giving him one good F you by going, huh, the future president of the United States is a customer at my shop. Basically going, I'm untouchable now. Because he hasn't been touched.
Yeah, to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was kind of an ending. But like I said, I really wish they would have at least had one solid season is my only complaint. Besides that, mm-hmm. the show's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
The bad voice acting isn't enough to deter me or make me cringe enough towards like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's bearable. Yeah. You're going to keep watching. It's like just said, sometimes it could have been like squeaky.
The only annoying part was that stupid mermaid song.
Wait,
yeah,
Muscle Man.
That was it, but...
Our Muscle Man rendition of every character.
Oh my god, what if he's every character?
I love it.
What did you sell him, Count?
I want the sweets. Mama, can I have the sweets?
Yeah, so basically, yeah, that was it. I really enjoyed it, and yeah, I mean, it fits perfect into the spoopy season, but like scary.
Spoopy. You said spoopy?
Spoopy. It's not really spooky.
Spoopy! And this has been... I was trying to tee up Oscar to say burnt out coffee, but I got him. This has been...
burnt out coffee!
And thank you for listening to this spoopy episode in this spoopy month. I am Enrique Rosado at Ryder Rosado, and with me, of course, is the fantastic Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Farts. You can go catch us on Instagram. You can also check me out on Twitter. This is Burnt Out Coffee. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, leave a like and follow us if you listen to our audio platforms, YouTube, Facebook. Follow the page. We enjoy having you here. It helps. And to leave you with our two questions of the day. Pick your A or B. One, if you've seen this show, what was your favorite story? / if you haven't seen the show, what do you think would make a good anthology series of a mystical creature? And two, what voice should the voice actor of Muscle Man voice in your favorite anime? I think he would do great in Clannad as Nagisa, I think, personally. Asuka, what do you think he would be good as?
I just want him to replace Goku. Yeah, it'd be so good.
No, even if it's only for a few episodes.
Every episode.
Chi-Chi. Goku, what are you doing? My son is a delinquent.
Like he does play Yajirobe, so I mean...
He does play Yajirobe!
So I guess giving him a more prominent character would be fun.
Oh, him as Dende. I am the Kami of Earth.
Gohan?
Come on, Gohan.
Dad! You're not my real dad. Where's Papa Bigelow?
Thank you for listening to Bird Dot Coffee. If you like what we do, check out the Patreon where you can support us and do where we have a whole bunch of bonus content and stuff. Like what? Well, I have a webcomic called Cat Trails. It is on Webtoons Topaz. It is a sci-fi fantasy, mainly fantasy, obviously, series. Check it out there. I'm really enjoying it. I'm having a lot of fun. If you like podcasts and you want a little more in your life and you like stories and you want something a little spooky, well, this last Monday came out Internet 24's, spooky episode, Fresh Red. Internet 24 is an anthology series where a whole bunch of stuff is happening. You like stories about space? Do you like stories about spooky stuff? Do you like stories about past lives? Well, this hits all the genres. It is sci-fi supernatural. You can find it on all audio platforms. Basically, wherever you're watching this or listening to this, Internet 24 is there. As well as, Oscar, do you have anything you want to say?
No.
Boom. Look at that. He gave you a solid soliloquy. I'll plug something for you. If you want to see Oscar stuff, he is doing Inktober right now over on his Instagram. So I'm going to replus that. Oscar Farts. He's doing a whole bunch of drawings. Check it out there. Does a lot of cool stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. And with that, Oscar, I think it's time you hit him with our most famous catchphrase.
I sold him my mom.
You're only allowed to feed them vegetables and water.
And don't show nobody.
I don't know why that hit hard. Don't show nobody, I swear to God. You show one person, you're dead. That's one thing about T-Shark. No one saw them. That's one. I was waiting for that rule to be broken, and it never was. In fact, actually, no. Episode 2, someone saw them, never mind.
Did they?
The chick. Remember she said she saw something that looked as big as a dolphin or a shark?
Kind of. The one that was the, it wasn't a full episode. It was the very beginning of episode 1, the tiger.
You're right.
Yeah, he showed his friends the tiger, and that came out to bite him in the ass.
Yeah. Thank you for watching Bird Talk Coffee. Spoon.
Back.
All right, man. You gonna stop recording? Boop. Let me just POC. I liked it. I just want to say one thing. We can keep talking. I 100% would like to. It's just one thing. You have to wait.